placer les jaloux et mettre les bons amis. On n'a pas besoin de me demander. Tu verras la route à nouveau. Tout ce que tu vois, c'est moi. À nouveau, ça coule. Petit malin, pas ça comme ça. Joli petit papa.
AUT Radio.
Radio.
Sound waves in the air.
CKUT.
Montreal, Canada.
CKUT.
And welcome to the show. This is Ecolibrium on CKUT 90.3 FM, and this is your host, Ryan Young. We have a great show for you today. We are going to do a Christmas show today. Now, this is an environmental radio show, and in the past, I don't know if we've ever done something specifically about Christmas or the holiday season, but I thought since basically Christmas Eve is in 2 days, Christmas Day being this coming Friday, I thought it would be cool to do something that I've always liked to do, which is play Christmas music, but very specific types of Christmas music or very specific songs. I have to admit, I am, I think, an expert in the catalog of Christmas music that exists out there. For many years, I have been recording as a personal hobby for my friends every year a CD or a tape. It used to be an audio cassette in the old days, which was basically me talking about the year in review, talking about whatever I felt like talking about, and selecting Christmas tunes out of the vast repertoire of Christmas tunes that exist out there. And I was doing that for many, many, many years. And when Spotify came along, and it was actually my wife who signed up for it. I didn't even sign up for it. But when she signed up for it, I just started to use Spotify extensively. And I basically created a Christmas mix on Spotify, which was kind of the sum total of my Christmas music collection, because I have a very large Christmas music collection full of, you know, many CDs. Now on Spotify, I have basically compiled all of that into one place, and I've added to it every year for the past few years, and now it's a mix which is 26 hours long, more than 26 hours long, I believe, and it's growing all the time. So this mix is called Studio 25 Christmas Mix by yours truly, Ryan Young, and you can find it out there relatively easy if you are... If you subscribe to Spotify, or even if you don't, you can just go to the Spotify website and you basically find my mix because it's a public mix and you can listen to it. But if you don't pay for Spotify, you will have to hear the commercials which come on from time to time, which are not too annoying, so it's not so bad. But anyways, because I've done that for many, many years, I guess I am now an expert in Christmas music and the history of Christmas music. So I thought for today's show on Ecolibrium, we would look at the elements of Christmas that really come from the worship of nature or natural things in our environment, and the imagery of Christmas, which often has elements of nature. So, for example, the reindeer, or the Christmas tree, or the greenery, or the wintry landscapes, you know, the small little cabin in the woods with a wood stove, you know, people living close to the land, hibernating for winter, or, you know, and celebrating the rebirth of the sun, which is really what Christmas is all about. If you go back far enough, it was associated with the winter solstice, when we would reach the longest night of the year, and after winter solstice, of course, the days would start to get longer again. And so it has always been, in so many cultures around the world, an important observation, often important religious holiday, or a festival of some kind, or a time to do some sort of ceremony that would celebrate, welcome, encourage the return of the light after the longest night of the year. So last night, I guess, was the longest night of the year because yesterday was winter solstice. It reached its peak or whatever at 5:02 a.m. yesterday. And we had a pretty special celestial event that coincided with it, which was the Great Conjunction. And this is something that has happened for the first time in almost 400 years. The last time Jupiter and Saturn were this close in the sky together from our viewpoint was in 1623. So, you know, it's been that long since they've appeared that close together. So we've had the rare treat and perhaps you weren't able to see it, but, you know, they'll still be close together for the coming nights, but perhaps not as close together as they were last night, where they were basically on top of each other. So what's interesting is they are calling this also the Christmas star, because it's happening around Christmas time. So, of course, what's interesting to note is Jupiter is closer to us. It's on the inside lane, and it's been approaching Saturn all month, and now Jupiter is overtaking it on the winter solstice. So the Great Conjunction, and many astrologers, if you're into astrology, say that yesterday was a great day to basically put some sort of project into motion, because the alignment of Saturn and Jupiter is always about new beginnings. And apparently, according to astrologers, it's also about new political beginnings. So, of course, when we think about imagery, and we think about, you know, the imagery that counts for a show like Equilibrium, it's the natural imagery. But that doesn't stop us from thinking about the big cosmos in general and the wider implications. And so, obviously, a major natural theme in Christmas, Christmas songs, Christmas celebrations, is the solstice, the winter solstice, which obviously is also called Yule, right? Celebration of Yule, the Yule log as a dessert, but also as a tradition that actually talks about burning an evergreen tree in your fireplace slowly over time. And we'll get to that a little bit later. But when we think about the cosmos, and so maybe you have heard of this before, but a lot of the Christmas traditions go back to Saturnalia. And what's interesting, of course, about that as well is it was an ancient Roman pagan festival honoring the agricultural god Saturn. And I just finished talking to you about how Saturn and Jupiter were the closest they've been together for since almost 400 years. So here we are, you know, talking about Saturn again as a theme. But Jesus Christ, of course, they don't know when his real birthday was. It was not December 25th, or historians highly doubt that it was December 25th. They more likely believe that he was born in the spring. But the Roman Empire, or the politicians back in those days, decided to choose that date as the date for Christmas, because there was another big celebration during that time of year, which was Saturnalia. And Saturnalia was the most popular holiday on the ancient Roman calendar. And of course, it was derived from the older farming-related rituals of midwinter and the winter solstice, especially the practice of offering gifts or sacrifices to the gods during the winter sowing season. And so Saturn was the Roman god of agriculture and time. And I guess before Christ, it was a celebration on a single day. But by the late Republic period, which is between 133 and 31 BC, it had expanded to a week-long festival that began December 17th. And what's even more interesting was that on the Julian calendar, which is slightly different from the Gregorian calendar, which we base our calendars on now here in the Western world, on the Julian calendar, the winter solstice fell on December 25th. So obviously, choosing the birth date of Jesus Christ on December 25th was a precise way to take an already existent holiday in the Roman society and turn it into something that was more to do with the birth of Jesus Christ. So how did the Romans celebrate Saturnalia? Well, basically, during that time period, work and business came to a halt, schools and courts of law closed, and the normal social patterns were basically suspended. People decorated their homes with wreaths and other greenery, and shed their traditional togas in favor of colorful clothes. Apparently, slaves did not have to work during Saturnalia, and they were allowed to participate in the festivities. So during that time period, Romans, instead of working, were gambling, singing, playing music, feasting, socializing, and giving each other gifts. And candles, wax taper candles, were common gifts during Saturnalia to signify light returning after the solstice. And it was by the 4th century AD that Western Christian churches settled on celebrating Christmas on December 25th, which allowed them, of course, to incorporate the holiday with Saturnalia and other popular pagan midwinter traditions. So that brings us to our first song, which is called The Winter Solstice. Back in 2006, independent musician Sufjan Stevens came out with an album called Songs for Christmas. It was actually a box set of 5 separate EPs of Christmas-related songs. And on that album, he had a song called Winter Solstice. So we're going to play that now.
Thank you.
And that was Winter Solstice by Sufjan Stevens from his album Songs for Christmas. You are listening to Equilibrium on CKUT 90.3 FM, and today we are exploring Christmas music as it relates to natural imagery, imagery of the natural world, and we include in that, you know, the cosmos. So we were talking a little bit before about how, you know, the original celebration of Christmas, or a lot of the festivities associated with Christmas, really go back to a Roman pagan festival called Saturnalia. And of course, we talked about how back in those days, in Rome or in Roman society, in places that were ruled over by the Roman Empire, people often put greenery in their house and boughs of evergreen trees in their house and so on. They didn't necessarily put up a Christmas tree. That was not something that was done until much later on, because apparently the first documented use of a tree at Christmas is between the cities of Tallinn in Estonia and Riga, or Riga in Latvia. They both claim they had the first trees. Tallinn in 1441 and Riga in 1510. Little is known about either tree apart from the fact that they were put in the town square. And they were danced around by the Brotherhood of Blackheads, which was an association of local unmarried merchants and ship owners. And then apparently after they danced around the tree in the town square, they set the tree on fire. This is like the custom of the Yule log. And you can go to a website, which is firstchristmastree.com, and read about the history of the first Christmas tree to find out more. So the Yule log, of course, relates to the celebration of Christmas, so I just want to go over it a little bit. It really goes back to medieval times. It was originally a Nordic tradition, and Yule is the name of the old winter solstice festivals in Scandinavia and other parts of Northern Europe. So the Yule log was originally an entire tree that was carefully chosen and brought into the house with usually a ceremony associated with it. And the largest end of the log, or tree, would be placed into the fire hearth while the rest of the tree stuck out into the room. The log would be lit from the remains of the previous year's log, which had been carefully stored away and slowly fed into the fire through the 12 days of Christmas. It was considered important that the relighting process was carried out by someone with clean hands. But in terms of a song to represent the imagery of a tree, and of course, you know, my favorite part about Christmas myself probably would be that image. I love bringing a beautiful balsam fir tree. It's usually a balsam fir, which is the Christmas trees that are sold out there. I love the smell of balsam firs. So when they're brought into the house, you know, the smell of a balsam fir kind of fills your house, which is a great smell and apparently has very positive health benefits. Whatever those scent chemicals are, I know there's a proper term for them, but they, when they get into your senses, apparently they stimulate your body to produce more T cells, which are your frontline immune fighters or defenders, your immune system defenders. So they have that effect. And so walking in an evergreen forest has that positive health benefit that, you know, associated with it. But obviously the smell is also there when you bring one of those live trees into your house. Another good argument to always have a real tree rather than a plastic tree or something like that. And the main song we associate with the Christmas tree is O Tannenbaum. And O Tannenbaum, obviously it's a German song, but it was based on a traditional folk song which was unrelated to Christmas originally, and it became associated with the traditional Christmas tree by the middle of the 19th century. Because I think in German, O Tannenbaum just means O fir tree. It doesn't mean O Christmas tree. So anyways, there's many different versions of it. Of course, there's a jazz version from the Charlie Brown Christmas soundtrack album, which is the one I kind of associate that song most with. But this year I found a kind of disco version, instrumental disco version of O Christmas Tree, which I'd like to play instead. And it's actually produced by Valentino Production Music. And as far as I know, it's not easy to find out who the musicians were on this track, because Thomas J. Valentino was an American businessman of Italian descent who was one of the first people to develop libraries of sound effects and taped music. He came to the U.S. in 1911 from Italy with his family, and he started out as a piano and organ tuner in the 20s. And then eventually, he, in the 30s, created live sound effects for Broadway productions. And eventually, he started his own sound effects company. And once that was quite successful, he decided in 1958 to expand into a similar line of work, which was a music library, which was called the Valentino Production Music Library. So the main purpose, I guess, of this business was to acquire copyrights, publish and produce music that was being used mainly in movies, television shows, and educational and industrial programming around the world. And it eventually came to represent the work of over 125 composers. And during the popular disco style of the mid-70s, I guess I think what he did is he hired a guy named Walter Murphy to compose a number of popular music themes to add to the music library, one being a disco version of Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, which people know as A Fifth of Beethoven. And it actually became a number one hit on the Billboard Hot 100 in 1976. So this version of O Christmas Tree is obviously from that era, was probably produced at some point along with those other tunes. Who knows who the musicians are, but it's a funky little version of O Christmas Tree. So here is O Christmas Tree by Valentino Production Music. And that was O Christmas Tree by Valentino Production Music. You are listening to Equilibrium on CKUT 90.3 FM. Today, because this is the week of Christmas, we are looking at the imagery of Christmas that we associate with nature, with the cosmos. And now we come to the part where you know, what's another kind of major symbol of nature that we see in the imagery around Christmas? It's Santa's reindeer. And reindeer, of course, are a species of ungulates or a species of deer that are really actually the same thing as caribou here in North America. So caribou and reindeer, because that's what they call caribou in Europe, they're really pretty much the same species. They look very similar. They are, I guess, two distinct species, or they are perhaps subspecies of one main species. But I'm pretty sure they're classified as two different species. But they basically look very, very similar. And reindeer, of course, are what pull Santa's sleigh. And there's a really great television documentary on CBC these days, which is all about the Jewish composers that composed so much of the popular Christmas music that we listen to today. The documentary is called Dreaming of a Jewish Christmas. And one of the things that I found the most interesting about this episode was the story of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and how that whole story was created and how it was composed by a Jewish composer, and the story was made up by a different Jew, and how this even the whole story is really a Jewish story. So many of you are probably familiar with Robert Harris, who is a music journalist that is often heard on CBC, especially if you ever listen to Michael Enright's show that's no longer on the air because Michael Enright retired, but he would join Michael Enright to talk about various music topics and usually about Christmas music at Christmas time. And he's featured in this documentary. And here is, he's one of the people you hear in this clip I'm going to play you. They set it up before he talks about it and how he often gets misty-eyed when talking about this story. So have a listen.
If you look at virtually every Christmas song written by a Jewish composer, they're not religious. This is taking Christmas out of anything about a baby Jesus and, you know, the manger and all of that stuff. And it's creating a new mythology. The mythology of Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer.
Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer. What a fantastic story. Robert May, 1939, gets a commission from the Montgomery Ward Company, who have been giving out these coloring books to their buyers. And they decide, well, wouldn't it be better to make our own coloring book? And they commission Bob May to come up with a Christmas coloring book. And he comes up with Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
So Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is the most Jewish Christmas song of all, because Robert May based the story of Rudolph, you know, with his nose so bright, you know, who all the other kids wouldn't play with and used to call him names. What's the name? Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose, okay, big nose. You know, all of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They wouldn't let poor Rudolph play in any reindeer games. He based that on his own childhood. His own childhood as a Jew in New Rochelle. This story is so amazing to me. So Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is the story of a young Jewish boy in the United States. And you know what's so interesting about Rudolph? Is that Rudolph doesn't get a nose job, okay? So the point of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is not for Rudolph to blend in and become another reindeer. The point of Rudolph is for Rudolph to be appreciated for what he is, you know? That is the key. I can't tell the story without tearing up, because it is the Jewish story, it is my story, it is my parents' story, it is my grandparents' story, you know? We don't want to not be Jewish, but we don't want to be alone.
It's a story that has nothing to do with Christmas and any kind of religious tradition. It's an invented myth about an invented holiday. So not only is Santa Claus an invented idea, but now we add an extra imaginary reindeer to the already imaginary reindeer. I mean, it is truly the Jews who invented Christmas is an extraordinary story.
In 1949, Robert May's brother-in-law set the story of Rudolph to music. Johnny Marks would go on to become the most prolific Christmas songwriter of them all, writing Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree, Holly Jolly Christmas, and I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. But it was Rudolph that captured the imagination of the whole world.
The secularization of Christmas started almost before Christmas. You know, so, like, they decided that Christmas was going to be December 25th in 300 AD. Christmas wasn't celebrated before that, really. It's not a major Christian holiday at all. So, in fact, people were celebrating this, the winter solstice, you know, for millennia. All of the things we associate with Christmas are pagan symbols, predate Christianity by thousands of years, and the church tried to sort of culturally appropriate these for their Jesus story.
It may be hard for us to believe today, but for centuries, Christmas was nothing more than an excuse for a drunken party and to abandon all inhibitions. A solstice celebration, true to its pagan roots.
In the first law books of Massachusetts, it was a crime in Massachusetts to celebrate Christmas. In fact, it was a crime in Massachusetts to not work on Christmas. Christmas, by the Puritans, was seen as a heathen holiday.
The Christmas Carol that we love, the Christmas Carol was a radical, radical populist innovation, right? In church, you sang hymns. But the people outside of church got these popular songs that they sang, and the church fathers and mothers did everything they could to suppress Christmas carols. It's so interesting of this Jewish involvement in Christmas music. It isn't an isolated incident at all. It's, in fact, part of the history of Christmas that goes back literally thousands of years. So, in fact, Christmas was secular long before it was Christians. The Christians are the ones who appropriated it. The Christians took over Christmas. It wasn't the Jews stealing Christmas. The Christians stole Christmas.
So there you had an excerpt of the television documentary that you can watch on CBC these days called Dreaming of a Jewish Christmas. You should really check it out. It's really interesting. And we're going to play Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer now. And I decided to choose Raffi's version of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And Raffi, of course, the child singer, the Canadian child singer. Raffi came out with a Christmas album in 1983, and it's simply entitled Raffi's Christmas Album. It's actually a very good Christmas album, as Christmas albums go. There's great instrumentation on it, good musicianship, the arrangements are good. And so here is Raffi's version of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer games. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight? Then how the reindeer loved him as they shouted out with glee, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Santa came to say, Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight? And how the reindeer loved him as they shouted out with glee, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you'll go down in history.
And that was Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer by Raffi from his Christmas album that was released in 1983. All right, well, another Christmas plant, or another plant, another living thing that is associated with Christmas is the mistletoe plant. And, of course, that's what people traditionally say you can kiss under, or you should kiss somebody, or if anybody ends up underneath the mistletoe, they're supposed to kiss. And so where does that history come from? Well, again, it's not a Christian origin. It's a pagan origin. Mistletoe is a plant that grows on a range of trees, including willow, apple, and oak trees. It is a parasitic plant. And it goes back to the time of the ancient Druids that it was considered to be a very special plant that had mystical powers. And if it was in your home, it brought good luck to your household, and it warded off evil spirits. And it was also used as a sign of love and friendship in Norse mythology. And what's really kind of funny is that originally, when the first Christians came to Western Europe, they tried to ban, or some of them tried to ban, the use of mistletoe as a decoration in churches. But many still continued to use it, even though they had tried to do this. The original custom, though, of kissing under mistletoe comes from England, and the earliest recorded date mentioning kissing under the mistletoe is in a musical from 1784. So the original custom was that when this was hanging in your house, of course, there were these white berries on it, because that's the plant's fruit, that every time people kissed under the mistletoe, a berry had to be picked from the mistletoe. And when all the berries had gone, there could be no more kissing under the mistletoe. So the great jazz singer Joe Williams released an album in 1990 called That Holiday Feelin'. And he had this great little tune called Kissing by the Mistletoe. And on this track, Kenny Burrell is on guitar and Ellis Larkins is on piano. The author of that song is J. Leslie McFarland. So here is Kissing by the Mistletoe by Joe Williams.
The holiday season is a wonderful time for a boy and girl to fall in love. 'Cause Santa and Cupid planned exactly what you did when you kissed me by the mistletoe above. We stood there kissing beneath the mistletoe. Tingle, tingle, and away we go. Tingle, tingle, kissing by the mistletoe. Love came to stay, and now it's Christmas every day. There's a heavenly treasure, more than money can measure, in the gift you give when you give your love, and I can tell. 'Cause whenever it's Christmas, if I never get this much, here in my heart I remember very well. We stood there kissing by the mistletoe, jingle, jingle. A kiss, 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 and away we go, tingle, tingle. Kissing by the mistletoe, love came to stay, and now it's Christmas every day.
And that was Kissing by the Mistletoe by Joe Williams from his album That Holiday Feeling, which was released in 1990. You are listening to Equilibrium on CKUT 90.3 FM. You are listening to us here on CKUT 90.3 FM, and we are featuring Christmas music that has imagery associated with nature and the natural world in it. Associated with Christmas, well, you've got to look at holly and the ivy, or holly and ivy, and holly, ivy, and other greenery were originally used in pre-Christian, again, so, you know, this is not something that was celebrated as a Christian tradition originally, but more as a pagan tradition. To help celebrate the winter solstice festival, you know, these kinds of plants were used to ward off evil spirits and to celebrate new growth. And what's interesting is it was really the UK and Germany that kind of kept these evergreen plants as part of their traditions when it came to Christmas. So let's first look at holly. So later on, in terms of looking for Christian imagery, when they looked at holly, they thought, well, the prickly leaves represent the crown of thorns that Jesus wore when he was crucified, and the berries are the drops of blood that were shed by Jesus because of the thorns. But really, in pagan times, holly was thought to be a male plant, and ivy was thought to be a female plant, and an old tradition from the Midlands of England says that whichever plant was brought into the house first over winter, tells you whether the man or woman of the house would rule that year. And there's really not much else to say about ivy when you look into it. Let's play an old Christmas tune, which is actually a British Christmas carol originally, called The Holly and the Ivy. And it can be traced back, the song can be traced back as far as the early 19th century. But the lyrics reflect an association between holly and Christmas, dating at least as far as medieval times. So this is a Canadian group that's doing this song. It's actually a group of sisters, the Ennis sisters, which are Maureen, Karen, and Teresa. They've put out many different albums, and they put out a Christmas album back in 1998 called Christmas on Ennis Road. And so we're going to hear their version of The Holly and the Ivy. Here is the Ennis sisters.
Berry as black as any coal, and Mary bore sweet Jesus Christ, for to redeem us all. Oh, the holly and the ivy, when they are both full grown, of all the trees that are in the wood, the holly tree bears the crown. Oh, the rising of the sun, and the running of the deer, the playing of the merry organ, sweet singing all in the choir. Oh, the rising of the sun, and the running of the deer, the playing of the merry organ, sweet singing all in the choir. The playing of the merry organ, sweet singing all in the choir.
And that was The Holly and the Ivy from the Ennis Sisters from their album It's Christmas. You are listening to Equilibrium on CKUT 90.3 FM. Well, obviously, snow plays a major role in the imagery of Christmas. And snow is obviously a natural element. It's imagery of nature. You know, we live with it. Anyone who lives in a northern country, or I guess anyone who lives further down in the southern hemisphere where it is colder, but of course they're not having their winter right now, we are. So, you know, we're familiar with snow, and you know, songs like Winter Wonderland and Have a White Christmas or White Christmas, these are all kind of well-known songs, again, that were written by as far as I understand, Jewish composers, and they were really part of that whole mass of secular Christmas music that got created in the 20th century that we're all so familiar with. But instead of playing a Christmas song by somebody about snow, I actually, you know, I sort of consider any song about snow or about winter in a northern area kind of a Christmas song. And on my Christmas mix on Spotify, which you can check out, which is called Studio 25 Christmas Mix, you can see there that I've got a whole bunch of songs about winter and about snow. And one of those songs is called Snow, and it's by Harry Nilsson. So here is Harry Nilsson's song called Snow.
Snow fills the fields we used to know, and the little park where we would go sleeps far below in the snow. It's all over and you're gone, but the memory lives on, although our dreams lie buried in the snow. Sometimes the wind blows through the trees, and I think I hear you calling me, but all I see is snow, everywhere I go. as the cold winter sun sinks low, I walk alone through the snow.
And that was Snow by Harry Nilsson. You are listening to Equilibrium on CKUT 90.3 FM. That's all the time we have left in the show. So have a great holiday this year. Enjoy yourself. I know it's a weird year. You know, many of us will not be with our families. But try to enjoy the spirit of the winter solstice anyways. Christmas doesn't have to be a Christian thing. I think Christmas, because it has so many traditions related to the celebration of winter solstice, that goes all the way back to ancient times, you know, anyone, because we are all unified in all the cultures of the world. All the cultures of the world all observed the winter solstice as an important thing. And so we're all united in that. Have a great holiday season. You know, you can follow us on Facebook by going to facebook.com/Equilibrium, CKUT Montreal. As I told you, my Christmas mix, which is more than 26 hours long, is available on Spotify. You can check it out easily there. And it's called the Studio 25 Christmas Mix. So thank you so much for listening to the show. And stay warm. Enjoy the wintry weather. All the best for the holiday season, and all the best for New Year's and 2021. My name is Ryan Young. Thanks for listening. We're going to leave you with a song from Jane Siberry. And Jane Siberry recorded an album called Child Music for the Christmas Season. And that album was basically made from, I believe, two live shows, which she did at a New York club called The Bottom Line. And, you know, on that album, there is a song about hockey. And hockey, because it's a sport associated with a northern place, you know, you can only play it on ice, real ice hockey anyways. This song, I think, is not surprising that she would include it on a Christmas album, an album that's full of Christmas music. And I believe it's just called Hockey. So here is Jane Siberry's song, Hockey, from her Christmas album that was released in 1997.
Sweater through the catalog, sailing on, Rosie. You have that scar on your chin forever, you know. Looks bad now, but someday your girlfriend will say, hey, what? You might look out the window. So don't fucking tell me where to fucking go.
fuck, 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 fuck in the afternoon.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Hey, your dog just stole the puck.
Aw, oh, not my dog.
You
not
get it.
That. You get it.
You
your
get
turn.
It. You get
your
it.
Your turn.
They rioted in the streets of Montreal, you know, and they benched Rocket Richard, and that is true bona fide Canadian history. That's what really counts. That's what we're all about. Don't let the Sunday afternoon get away, 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 break away, break away, break away, break away, break away, break away, get 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 away, break 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 away. Use your rubber boots for goalposts, and you're so proud of it because they're your boots that they're using. But oh, walking home. Ah. There's some people fishing in those fishing huts down the river, smoking big cigars, telling stories of long ago. Rosie. That's right, there'll be more Sunday afternoons. Philip Brown, come on home. Yes, not only do you have to, you have to right now.
Okay.
Okay, good.
Oh, what a sock.
CKUT's 2020 funding drive has been postponed indefinitely, but we are still accepting donations to help us sustain the station's operations while we remain closed due to COVID-19. Our wide network of volunteers provides an essential service to many different communities in Montreal, and the isolation of the past few months has highlighted how important independent news, arts and culture, and music programming is for Montreal's underrepresented communities. If you are in a position to give during this time, visit ckut.ca and click on the green Donate button to make a contribution, or contact funding@ckut.ca if you have any questions. Thank you for your continued support.
Prevent the spread of the virus. Wear a mask in public places, such as on public transit and in grocery stores and businesses. The best way to protect your health and the health of those around you is still to follow recognized hygiene measures. For example, washing your hands regularly and keeping your distance. Let's continue to protect ourselves. Find out more at quebec.ca/mask. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
I'm Noam Chomsky.
speaking from MIT. You're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM.
Yeah. Do it for the hood, y'all. Southside with an F because I'm fresh. Do it for the hood.
In the fight against COVID-19, we must all continue to respect public health guidelines and follow self-isolation instructions. Self-isolate if you have symptoms. Self-isolate after testing. Self-isolate if the test is positive. Self-isolate when you return from a trip. And self-isolate when you've been in contact with someone who's tested positive. Self-isolation is important. Please, take it seriously. Learn more at quebec.ca/self-isolating. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
As we continue to fight the spread of COVID-19, there are new support programs in place for those who need them, including a stronger, more accessible EI and 3 new recovery benefits. Continuing to support Canadians now will help keep us safe and make Canada more resilient.